Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. Has God been good to anybody? Just say hallelujah, amen, Moshe Kines. He has been so, so good. As I listen and look at the news, there are so many sad things that are going on in our world and even in our community. But I want you to know God has been faithful. That's why he has called us as believers to be living epistles, that we are an example of his glory every day. And I want you to really embrace the fact that God's power is sufficient, what he's done for us. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the power of the Lord and what he's done to change us from the inside out. I want you to stay connected to ebcnc.com, please, and let people know what's going on, that they can get a word from the Lord. There's so much information there from, you know, if you're like, man, how do I get saved? And or you're, how can I join with a fellowship and be encouraged? Just go to ebcnc.com and get that information. We have an app. Download that app. You can get notifications. So many things, again, that's going on. We've got Monday Manna, where we get an encouraging word and teaching. It's Tuesday, noonday Bible study, our virtual connection, where we're going through the book of Genesis. And then on Wednesday, our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke. It's just been wonderful to walk through that together as we just talk about Christ and what he's doing within our lives. And then on Thursdays, we have an in-person Bible study right there in our sanctuary at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, and we are going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I love, as Paul the Apostle, being led of the Holy Spirit, really gives some powerful words to the believers. So 1 Corinthians, and that's Thursday at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. I need you to keep on praying, please, for our 8:45 in-person service and our 10:45 in-person service, and definitely our 10 o'clock online. That's really impacting souls, and not just those in the community of Ebenezer, but outside of our community, other states. And so I am just grateful for God's hand and what he is doing in our lives. I also want to thank you for your giving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to purpose in our heart. And we really hail that from the scriptures. That's what it says. So each one purpose in his heart. And I thank you. Whether you're giving online or you're sending it in our secure mailbox or you're in an in-person service, thank you. Because of your giving, we're able to do a lot of things within our community. We're able to reach out. We've got some things that are being planned for later on in the year that we can reach out to the community and bless them. On third Sundays, we're actually feeding the hungry in City Central Park in Greensboro, giving out food and encouragement. So many things that you're giving is going to missions overseas and other places where souls are truly being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. We wanted to do something for our church family, and our Founders Day is coming up on the first Sunday in May. That's the first Sunday in May. And so we're going to have a fellowship luncheon on that Saturday before the first Sunday. I think it's May 5th. We're going to be together in the fellowship hall at 1 o'clock. But we need you to do, though, we need you to sign up. So use those apps, use the website. We've got connections under events that you can go in, and we need to know how many will be attending so that we can make sure that we have our food countdown and we can have a wonderful fellowship. The deadline for signing up is April 21st. Please hear me. Please get signed up by April 21st. If you're in our in-person service, there is a sheet there, but there are also people, stewards that we have that are able to sign you up via that app. And we just thank God for technology and assisting as we're going to celebrate 123 years of Ebenezer being established. Thank God for that. Finally, on this fifth Sunday, we're going to be celebrating our graduates, and we thank you because you're giving. These are some other things that we're able to do for our community and the body of Christ. We've got some graduates that are coming out of Ebenezer. We're going to celebrate them, bless them. We've got one of our former members that moved away and got married. He's going to come back, and he's going to give them a word from the Lord, encouraging them in their walk of faith as they're going to new horizons and striving to follow the Lord and put Him first. I want you to please be praying for our graduates. There are a lot of decisions, what college to go to or not go to college, vocation to choose, just trying to stay in God's will. So please lift them up. I'm in a time in my life that I've been able to see generations being raised up, and I am so grateful for God's word, and I'm ready, as I'm thinking about it, to get into God's word. But I want your heart to be prepared, and I want you to be praying for God to speak to you in your situation that you can be encouraged. We'll see you soon.
Amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with the 13th verse. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then He asked them, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." In verse 20, it says, "Then He sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Messiah." The word of God for the people of God.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
It's so good to know that it's in Christ alone. It's all about Jesus and what he is doing in us and transforming us. We're back in this topic, the life of the believer and what we should look like as we are living epistles of the Lord that God is using in these dark days. I'm just thinking about excerpts from the news. A woman shoots 3 kids and then turns the gun on herself. These are sad times. People are feeling hopeless. And today, as we go into this, I want you to be encouraged to know these believers that we're going to talk about. They were tremendously stressed in their situation, in their time, but God was gracious. Let's go to that memory scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, and that second verse. And I really want you to read it aloud with me. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been progressing through this particular chapter. Today, we're actually going to finish this chapter as we just lift up encouraging words as Paul the Apostle and others. I'm going to bring in some excerpts from them. But Peter, as he's going through in his struggles, he's going to speak directly to those who are in stress. And God is going to be so, so gracious to them. And I want you to have that word today, that God wants to speak directly to you for encouragement. Would you pray with me before we get into the scripture? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for today's lesson, Lord, your word. And I believe it's going to assist and help encourage those who are in some dark times in their life. Lord, I thank you that you're more than enough. Lord, there may be some that are looking and on or listening and they don't know you. But I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them experience that grace through faith and not of themselves, that gift from you. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put on the chat, amen, wherever you're sitting or standing, just say amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and that 23rd verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 23. It reads, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Listen to that again, 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I want to speak from the title today, born again. Yes, born again. Can you put it in the chat? Born again, wherever you're sitting, just say born again. Throughout church history, this word born again has been problematic, especially when we witness and we talk to people. We ask them, have you been born again? You remember even with Christ and Nicodemus, that Pharisee that came to Jesus by night, and he had a question, you know, how can I get to the place that you've been teaching about? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, he was a teacher and smart guy. He's like, can I enter back into the womb of my mother to be born again? In a sarcastic manner, but also in a serious, like, how is this going to happen? happen. And Jesus goes on to explain this experience of being born again, the Spirit, and being transformed from the inside out. And today we're going to deal with that. We're going to take step by step as we look at these believers. Just a little review from last Sunday. We were in 1 Peter 1:15 was our focus scripture. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And we ask that question, how holy are you? Some points in review. We are saved. The wonder of salvation. We live a transformative life and holy, holy, holy. This time frame, again, just a little review. We've talked about it, 63, 64 A.D. These Christians, really, families were being torn apart. Many of them were being martyred. Some of them were being burned at stake just so that the emperor of the time could satisfy his curiosities, and just looking at Christians in a way of just items, just pieces of meat. It was a sad and sadistic time, if I can use that word, but God was still powerful. And I want you to know, no matter how tough it is in your life, how tough it gets into the world, that God is still with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Any amens? And this scripture is evident as we go through it today that God is doing something bigger in us than we can even imagine. Let's jump into that 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that good? Here's our first point. We are under review. Yes, we are under review. The Lord is looking at us, and as believers, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and God has expectations of us. We talked about last Sunday, He wants us to live holy lives. And as these Christians were going through, they were struggling with some things, so they needed a word to take them to another level. They needed a word that as they were losing loved ones, as their homes were being ripped apart, that they could look above the things of this world and actually kind of tiptoe and look into the heavenlies. And this is what this word is going to do for us today as we talk about being born again. Peter, being led of the Holy Spirit, is really encouraging them to realize what we have as believers is more than enough. Let me show you 1 Peter 1:17 again. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, here it is, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That fear is reverence. To understand that God is still in charge. You got to get that. No matter what we're going through, we've got to trust that God knows best. There used to be a program long, long time ago when I was a little kid. It says, Father knows best. We've got to know that Father God knows best for our lives. Sometimes He allows us to go through situations, go through valley experiences that we don't like, but it's for our good. All things work to the good of the those who love the Lord and are called according to His plan and purpose, born again. A New Testament scholar, Andrew Lincoln, wrote, He is looking on, taking notice of all, whether there is integrity of purpose, intelligence of mind, and desire of heart to please Him. This is critical. God is examining us from the inside out. We're under review. 1 Peter 1:18, looking a little closer, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father. I love this part because it's saying that we were bought back. That's what redeem means, that we were purchased back. We were actually under the deed of the devil, because of Adam and Eve and what they had done. But Jesus, somebody say, but Jesus, you can put it in the chat. But Jesus comes and he is that sacrifice that fulfills all for us so that we could be born again. Dr. Woodrow Kroll, he really captures the heavy thought of redemption and being born again. He writes, Peter refers to the fact that his readers, like all Christians, have been released from empty and meaningless lies by a payment made on their behalf. That's what that redemption is all about. The value of the payment that was made was far greater than silver or gold in any amount. It was the blood of Christ, meaning his death on the cross, which paid the price of release from traditional pagan conduct, the command to live holy lives for our brief sojourn on the earth. In the interim, as we wait for the consummation of our salvation, is based upon the great price paid by Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Just to know what Christ has done for us, really, in our worst times, it should encourage us to know that we are born again no matter what happens. I think all of us, we want to live a good life. We don't want to have to go through pain. We don't want to have to go through struggles. But if we go through those times and just live a little long, we will go through those times just to know that we are born again. We have been bought with a price, an awesome price, that we can glorify God, not just in the good times, but in the bad times also. But we must never forget this 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Can you put precious in the chat? Somebody just scream out precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As we're going through our lives, there's so many times you heard this, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus, because what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is a covering for the born again believer that we walk in. And we understand that God has us born again. Look at 1 Peter 1:20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Here's the next point. We live in faith and hope. Yes, we live in faith and hope because we're born again. Christ chose us. Any hallelujahs? He chose us. All of us know that if you're in a relationship, those who have had children. I remember our kids being born and growing up, and I remember them reaching out for my face. And I'm like, in my heart, it was just wonderful. I was like, this child chose me. If that child would have been like, ugh, get away from me, that would have been detrimental. But they reached out towards me as their daddy and accepted me. In the same respect, God chose us in spite of ourselves. There ought to be some hallelujah. In spite of our sin, in spite of our struggles, in spite of us running away from God many times, God chose us. The Spirit speaks this in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that good? We got every spiritual blessing because we're born again. Ephesians 1:4, just as he who chose us in him before the foundations of the world, we are the elect. I taught on that a few weeks ago, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted, here it is, in the beloved. We're born again. God has done something so extensive and has intertwined us into his family. And this is that same thought pattern that Peter is speaking to these believers that are struggling in their lives, to let them know that, you know what? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Edward Mode in 1834, he penned this, "My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Because we're born again. Can you put in the chat, born again? Look at 1 Peter 1:22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. As they were going through these struggles, the enemy was trying to come in and divide them. You know how it is when you're going through something in your life. Sometimes you tend to push people away from you. You tend to get a little angry. The flesh rises up. They were going through this, so they had to be encouraged, even in these dark times, to love with a pure heart. Having been, here it is, born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Here's the point. We love one another. Yes, we love one another. There is no excuse. If you are born again, you're going to love those who are around you. You're going to love brothers and sisters in Christ. You're even going to love those who may not love you. You may not love what they do, but you love them because agape has been put inside of us. That is God's type of love that loves in spite of. Look at this 1 Peter 1:22, first part. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. As we really embrace God's word, we are in obedience to what he's calling us to do. This is what these believers were going through at this point. They had to trust that they were in the will of God even when things were breaking apart. They had to trust that they were in the will of God even when their flesh did not like it, even when it seemed like the whole world was against them. They had to know that they were right where God would have them to be. Our souls are purified, again, through obeying God's word. What he speaks, where he leads, I'm going to follow. Romans 12:2, Paul brings this out. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm talking about born again. As we walk in this, we live in this faith and hope. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Man, I'm going to talk, all of these things come together and we love. Why? Because we've been changed on the inside. Let me focus on this word fervently in the Greek. It actually means to stretch to the limits. Yes, to stretch to the limits. God is saying, because we are born again, our love is going to be stretched. And many of you are like, Pastor, I'm feeling that right now. I'm trying to love such and such. I'm trying to reach out to them, but they stretching my love to the limit. You're right where God would have you. I believe as we're walking in this life as believers born again, God is going to allow situations and people to come into our lives that our love is going to be stretched. It's going to be stretched. But please understand, it is not going to rip apart. God knows how much you can bear. There ought to be some hallelujahs. But I don't want you to forget 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. What we have, it is not going to deteriorate. We talking eternity, this born again believers. This is going to take us from this life into the place where Jesus is, into heaven, into the new heaven and the new earth. That's what born again is. It's not just about living here, but it's about also living into the future and eternity with Jesus. Samuel Wright, a biblical scholar in the 1900s, he actually captures this wonderful thought. He says the three incorruptible things we have in this first chapter, an incorruptible inheritance. Isn't that good? It's not going to pass away. Our inheritance is going to be for an eternity, an incorruptible redemption. We are saved. We are born again. We've been bought with a price and an incorruptible word by which we are born. Thus, we have a nature which is taintless, fitted for the enjoyment of a taintless inheritance, and on the basis of redemption, which never can lose its value, how the stamp of eternal perfection is upon us. Oh, I'm telling you, that is shouting words to think about what God has done. And this is what the believers were feeling as they were reading these letters from Peter and being encouraged. They were getting excited from the inside out, knowing that no matter what the outside looked like, they had eternity on the inside. They were born again. Look at 1 Peter 1:24 as we're pulling this together. It says, because All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Wow. Here's our final point. We walk in his word. Yes, we walk in his word. These believers had to know that as they were going through these dark times, as said earlier, that God's word was enough. Can you put in the chat, just say enough, enough, enough. Wherever you're sitting at, standing at this point, just say enough. God's word is enough. Please know our life goes fast. Any amens? I'm telling you, I remember, and I've told this story many times, when I was young and I was looking forward to at 16 to driving, get my driver's license. It seemed like from 15 to 16, it took like 10 years. It just took 10 years. And I remember going from 16 and I was waiting to be 18. That was the adult age. It took forever. And then they raised the adult age to 21 and I had to go to 18 to 21. It took forever. And then I got married and children started to come and time sped up. And as I look at the years, I've got grown kids right now. And it seems like we were just in January because the months are going so fast. And I'm already looking to the end of the year simply because it seems like time speeds up, but our awareness of time becomes more acute. Yes, as we get older, we really begin to embrace this comparison of life is as of grass. This is actually a quote from the Old Testament, this scripture in which it was dealing with the prophecies of the coming Messiah. Isaiah 43 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So look at that context. It's actually looking towards the Messiah, but look at the sixth verse. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field." I think this is real critical as we're in the season. Our grass is growing. Many of us have to cut the grass. And you realize it's just for a season. That grass is going to die after this season is over with. This is the same respect as we look at our lives as born again believers. This flesh is going to pass away. Isaiah 47, the grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon him. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. See, the born again believer realizes that yes, this external, this tent, it does pass away. It is moving, but I am so glad that we have a rock that we can stand on, and his name is Jesus. Notice again, 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Because we are born again, we really embrace God's word that edifies us, God's word that keeps us, and God's word that orders our steps. Everything we see will fail, but please understand, Jesus spoke this in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. There ought to be some amens to that. Jesus is the word that will never pass away. And because he's paid the price for our lives, because we are born again, we can embrace the fact, because he died for us and got up on the third day with all power, that we know that we're born again. And though this flesh perish, we know that we have a glorified body, and we get to live in a place that man did not build, but the power of God. John 1:1 brings this out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things was was made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. I'm talking about born again. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. That same life that resided in him, now he's given to the born again believer. That is good news. But as we sum up, please understand, as we walk in this thought pattern of being born again, the Spirit speaks in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Can you scream out children of God? If I got some quick typers, just say children of God. To those who believe in his name, there's something about the name of Jesus, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We were born again. God did a transformative thought pattern within our lives that was able to touch us from the inside out. Now the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There ought to be some shouts of praise to know that we are born again. I just want to celebrate right now the fact that Jesus did come from heaven to earth, walked among men, healing the sick and raising the dead. But I'm glad that he didn't stop right there. I love the teachings that he put forth. I love the fact that he could walk on water. I love the fact that he could open up blind eyes. But I'm so glad that he allowed himself to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. I'm so glad. I'm even glad, folks, that he went down the Via Dolorosa and allowed them to spit on him and talk. I'm so glad that he went to the cross of Calvary and took nails in his hands and nails. And I'm so glad that on that cross he cries out, "It's finished," drops his head in the locks of his shoulder. I'm so glad that they put him in a cold grave, but I'm real glad that he stayed there the first day, the second day. But there ought to be some shouts of praise. He got up on the third day, all with all power and all glory, and now is seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And those who accept him are born again. Yes, we are born again. And that same Jesus that ascended will come back on a cloud where every eye can see him. And those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. What a wonderful, wonderful reality of being born again. Christ makes the difference in everything. Saints, I just want you to be encouraged, no matter where you are, from the young to the old, no matter what the stress, no matter what the doctor has said, no matter what the relationship struggle that you're dealing with, if you are born again, it's more than enough, because Christ said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, dwells inside the believer, and we can confidently say we have been born again. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, and we understand the power of Ephesians, it says that we believe faith through grace and not of ourselves, that grace and that hope and that faith and that trust in the finished work, what he has already done, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Saints, we have a gift. A wonderful gift. If you don't know him, cry out to him today. Confess your sins. And I want you to join the family of born again believers. That is good news. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. So many times we take what we have for granted, but thank you for allowing us to be born again, changed from the inside out. For these believers in Peter's time that were struggling, God, thank you for this word that encouraged them that in their darkest days they could give you praise. They could celebrate the fact that this body would pass away, but they would get a glorified body and they would live with you for an eternity. Father, we have joined that family as born again believers. Thank you for that blessed hope that resides in us. Thank you, God, for the love that you put inside of us. Thank you, God, that we can trust you in your word. Help us, God, to walk in it. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to dedicate this song not only for my wife, but to the pastor, but to the youths out there in a cappella, because I used to sing years ago. I started at the age of 3. But now I'm at the tender age of 80. I'm going to still try to do the best I can. Father alone knows all about our trouble. Father alone understand why. Cheer up, my brother, in living the sunlight. He'll understand by and by. Father alone in no knows all about our troubles. Father alone understand why. Cheer up, my brother, in a living the sunlight. He'll understand.